Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas says that anti-corruption measures enacted by the government have saved the country tens of billions of crowns. Over 300 public figures have signed a petition demanding that the government back the EU fiscal pact. And hunting has secured a place on the list of Czech intangible cultural heritage. Prime Minister Petr Nečas says that anti-corruption measures enacted by the government have saved the country tens of billions of crowns. Speaking at a press conference, Mr. Nečas and Deputy Prime Minister for Corruption, Karolina Pík, praised the government's passage of nearly half of the points of its anti-corruption strategy and said it was working on others. The Prime Minister noted that the country annually awards tenders worth nearly half a trillion crowns. The abandonment of middlemen in the Defense Ministry tenders, he said, or the cancellation of a controversial eco-waste tender saved billions of crowns. Ms. Pík said the government was still working on other measures such as transparency in party financing, whistleblower protection, and increasing the independence of state prosecutors. Over 300 public figures have signed a petition calling upon the government to change its stance on the EU fiscal pact. The petition, which was organized by political scientist Jiří Pehe and priest Tomáš Halík, says that by rejecting the agreement for closer fiscal integration among EU members, the Czech Republic is needlessly removing itself from the mainstream of European cooperation. The signatories believe the government's stance will damage the country's credibility and bring nothing of benefit. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has argued he does not have a mandate to conclude the treaty because of problems around its ratification, a view not shared by his coalition partners, Topo 9. Gamekeeping has secured a place on the list of Czech intangible cultural heritage. It was put on the list by the Czech Culture Ministry, which said gamekeeping involved many customs, rituals, and traditions worth preserving. Jaroslav Kostecka, secretary of the Bohemian and Moravian Gamekeepers Association, said he hoped this would pave the way for a UNESCO listing. The Czech list of intangible property of traditional and folk culture only has 5 items. Besides gamekeeping, the list also contains the Southeast Moravian folk dance Verbung, falconry, the Volchnov Ride of the Kings, and Shrovetide masks and traditions from the Hlinsko vicinity in East Bohemia. The Bohemian and Moravian Gamekeepers Association has 80,000 members, 10% of whom are women. The sudden temperature rise has caused water pipes to burst all around the country. In Prague, broken pipes underground caused problems in 3 places, particularly at the busy Náměstí OSN intersection in Vysočany, where roads were closed on Tuesday morning due to flooding. Serious problems with burst pipes were also reported near the metro station in Davice and in Hrdlořezy. A number of schools were closed in the southern city of České Budějovice, where 7 leaks were reported, while more than 4,000 homes in Liberec were without water as of Tuesday morning. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be cloudy, with rain and snow on Wednesday and daytime temperatures at around the freezing point. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Czech police have cracked down on a group called Resistance Women Unity, a women's branch of the Czech neo-Nazi movement National Resistance. Who are they and what is their agenda? We'll be talking to one of the country's leading experts on extremism. The annual Bohemian Carnival is underway in the Czech capital. We'll look at its history in the Czech lands and efforts to revive it to its former glory. And in Czechs in History, we profile one of the most popular actors of the First Republic, Hugo Haas. And we'll end the show as usual with another Czech lesson, so do please stay with us. The Czech police have cracked down on a group called Resistance Women Unity, a women's branch of the Czech neo-Nazi movement National Resistance. 15 women were arrested and charged with promoting and supporting a movement aimed at suppressing human rights and freedoms. I spoke to Miroslav Mareš of Masaryk University in Brno, one of the country's leading experts on far-right extremism, to find out more about the role of women in neo-Nazi groups in the present-day Czech Republic.
The presence of women within this scene is nothing new. We can found women in the 1990s in the skinhead subculture, so-called Rennies, and in Brno. It was an organization called Aryan Sisters in the middle of the 1990s, and one of the leading persons of this group attacked the Roma woman in public transport. However, maybe that this operation, this police operation against Resistance Women Unity, is really new in the sense of the concentration to the one concrete woman group, because the members of this group were involved in the highest level of political activities of the Czech neo-Nazi movement.
So this is unusual. They have become more active of late, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, more active and more visible, and maybe more professional political activity, including international networking, because some of these women were in contact with German women neo-Nazi scene, including the so-called Ring Nationaler Frauen, or the Circle of Nationalist Women, and this is a famous German women neo-Nazi organization.
What activities do they engage in? Do we know? Do they have a separate agenda?
The very important agenda was so-called Help for Prisoners of War. It's an acronym, Prisoners of War. It's an acronym for prisoners of the neo-Nazi movement in jail, and it was something as a specific woman activity to prepare presents and gifts for men who are in a prison, including violent activists. However, during the mass demonstration, some of women organized also something as a healthcare for fighters, etc. And important action was also the children care, because they organized something as a children's day for children of neo-Nazi families or right-wing extremist families.
So would you say they're a support group?
Something as a support group, yeah. These women within the scene, they rejected feminism as an ideology. They are against the something as a specific woman emancipation in the neo-Marxist sense. They are against the modern trend of feminism. However, they are interconnected with the tradition of strong women within the totalitarian movements of the Nazi and fascist style. On the website of some of these groups are, for example, articles about the project Lebensborn. It was a Nazi project for education of modern Nazi children during World War II.
So there would be a lesser degree of aggression or violence in this group?
It's difficult to say that the women are really aggressive in the sense of the direct physical violence. They are supporting the violent activities of men, however, they are not directly involved in street fights, etc. For example, arson attacks against Roma settlements, they are committed by men, not by female men, members of neo-Nazi movement.
Miroslav Mareš of Masaryk University in Brno there on the role of women in the Czech neo-Nazi movement. Moving on now, we take a look at the lighter side of life in the Czech capital. The annual Bohemian Carnival got underway this week, and for the next 7 days, carnival lovers will have a chance to forget the freezing temperatures in Prague with masked balls, parades and acrobatic performances. The event is an attempt to revive what was a major social event in days gone by, one that attracted big-name celebrities such as Mozart and Casanova. Rob Cameron has this report.
A group of clowns and jesters dressed in colourful harlequin costumes makes its entrance in a sumptuous ballroom inside the baroque walls of the Clam Gallus Palace in Husavar Street in the heart of the old town. Led by a drummer, the group entertains the audience dressed in powdered wigs, satin robes and the obligatory carnival masks. Say the word carnival and people usually think of the masked extravaganzas of Brazil or Venice. But for centuries, the carnival was the highlight of Prague's social season too. Some of the celebrations were breathtakingly lavish. In 1570, the Italian painter Giuseppe Arcimboldo built a huge papier-mâché model of Mount Etna on Prague's Old Town Square, erupting in a volcano of fireworks before disgorging a procession of terrified animals and aristocrats dressed as mythological figures. Then, in the early 19th century, the carnival was banned. The imperial authorities in Vienna were increasingly concerned at the raucous parties that sometimes got rather out of hand, and the straight-laced Austrian Chancellor Metternich put a stop to it. Organiser Zlatusza Miller explains.
They used masks to murder or to make sex or to do things which are not good. And the period of Metternich, they forbidden carnevale. They didn't like to have people in the mass.
There's no murder or indeed sex this evening, just some rather genteel Baroque dancing. Zlatusza and her husband Rostislav, she's a stage designer, he's an architect, have almost single-handedly recreated the Prague carnival tradition, adding various events each year, such as a carnival for children and contests for the most beautiful mask. It's now in its sixth year, and it's gradually attracting curious visitors from further afield, as I found out by talking to two students, Nora from Hungary and Mara from Spain.
Well, in my country they are well known, especially in Canary Island, but not that kind of carnivals, so aristocratic and baroque, and this is nice.
It's very sort of genteel and very aristocratic, as you say.
Yeah, sure. This is special carnival, characteristical.
Yeah. In Venice, it's about masks, but here it has this profile, this Baroque style, so it's really unique. I still think that not that much people know about it, because if you say carnival, everybody thinks about Venice and not about Prague, but maybe with time it will change.
Believe it or not, that's not such an ambitious goal. Village carnivals, known as Masopust in Czech, continued in the countryside after the Prague carnival was banned and remain a feature of country life to this day. So it's not such a stretch to imagine the tradition taking root in Prague again. After all, the famous Venice carnival didn't even exist 30 years ago. It was only revived by the Italians in the late 1970s. Organisers hope that with its menu of masked balls, costume contests and jaunty processions, they can do the same here as well.
That report by Rob Cameron. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. In the next few minutes, we'll be looking at the life and work of one of the most popular actors of the First Republic, a star of black and white movies, Hugo Haas. This edition of Czechs in History is by Colleen O'Connor.
Vy jste mi přešla do krve a v chladném srdci synika nastala panika.
The sound of Hugo Haas singing in one of his many hit movies from the 1930s. This versatile actor and director was hugely popular in the First Republic and was very much one of the stars of this golden period in Czech cinema. Despite his success, however, Haas's life and career, like that of so many other Czechs, was blighted by the tide of history that swept through Czechoslovakia in the 20th century. Hugo Haas was born in 1901 in Brno to a Jewish merchant family. Although he hadn't much of an academic career, he did attend the conservatory in Brno, where the composer Leoš Janáček was supposedly instrumental in getting him to study drama. Haas was subsequently hired by the National Theatre in both Brno and Prague, where he quickly rose to prominence as a gifted comic actor. Movie roles soon followed, and Hugo Haas rapidly established himself as one of the leading film stars of his generation. Czech film historian Pavel Tausig says Hugo Haas stood out among his peers because of his understated, realistic style of acting, which was quite unique in cinema at a time when most film actors were simply theatre thespians performing in front of a camera.
Hugo Haas byl jeden z nejčelnějších herců českých.
Hugo Haas was one of the most prominent Czech actors during the period when he worked in this country, both in the theater and especially in film. At the same time, it's very important to remember that he was one of the most modern actors around. Haas was one of the very first actors in the world to erase the distinction between an acting performance and normal human behavior. You can see this when he is playing a normal civilian for the camera. His performance is such that you get the feeling that you're actually watching a documentary. They say that good actors understand that you don't act in front of a camera, you should simply exist. Haas managed to do this to perfection.
To skutečně Haas precizně dovedl.
A myslíte, že vás poslechnu?
Tak jim řekněte, že jinak zajdou všichni na malomocenství. Pánové, ten lék proti Čenkově nemoci, to je můj lék. Ano, pánové, to je můj lék a já jej nedám, dokud neslíbí, že už se nebude zabíjet. Řekněte, že jim to vzkazuju.
Although Haas initially specialized in comic roles, he could also play parts which had a serious edge, such as the embattled Dr. Galen in this film version of Karel Čapek's play Bílé nemoc, or The White Plague, which is considered to be one of Haas's finest works. This film was also adapted for the screen and directed by Haas himself, and this cemented his reputation as the Renaissance man of Czech cinema.
Žádáme-li pro svůj lid více prostoru, širší hospodářský rámec, i kdybychom byli nuceni zmocnit se ho na účet národů slabších a upadajících.
Bílé nemoc is known for its satirical portrayal of a bloodthirsty dictator, who is strongly reminiscent of Hitler, a figure whose shadow loomed large over Europe when the movie was made. Unfortunately, Bílé nemoc turned out to be a sadly prescient film. Just 1 year after it was completed, Hitler annexed Czechoslovakia and Haas was forced to flee his homeland for fear that he would be persecuted as a Jew and anti-Nazi sympathiser. His brother, the composer Pavel Haas, was not so lucky. He ended up perishing in Auschwitz and Hugo Haas was haunted by his death for the rest of his life. After fleeing Czechoslovakia, Haas eventually settled in America, where he continued to pursue a career in film. As he didn't speak much English initially, he had to adjust to not being a leading man anymore. He gradually established himself as a supporting actor, usually playing a sleazy foreigner or villain. Perhaps his most notable role of this period was as the Dutchman Van Brunn in the Oscar-winning King Solomon's Mines. When he had managed to scrape enough money together from acting, Haas set about making his own films, such as Pick Up and Thy Neighbour's Wife. These were usually cheaply made B-movies, which were a far cry from the work Haas did in the 1930s. Nevertheless, Pavel Tausig says that Haas's achievement in actually getting into a position to make films again should not be underestimated.
Naturally, these later films are very low budget, as he had very little resources at his disposal to shoot them. He made them as cheap, small-scale projects for as little money as possible. But if we take into account the fact that so many famous directors from the old world ended up in America after the war, and so many of them did not make it, then we have to look at what Hugo Haas managed to achieve as a success.
Although Haas remained a respected actor and had an influence on younger movie stars, such as Gregory Peck, the films he made in this period were not well received by critics. Besides their cheap production values, movies like Thy Neighbour's Wife were attacked for their lurid and tacky plotlines, which usually centred around a middle-aged man, played by Haas himself, being enticed and ruined by a younger seductress. Some reviewers found these movies so shoddy and second-rate that they described Haas as a foreign Ed Wood, and it's a label that persists to this day. Pavel Tausig admits that Haas's later films come nowhere near his masterpieces of the 1930s, but claims that they should be viewed within the context of Haas's life as an exile in America.
ten tragický osud jeho rodiny a vůbec toho světového židovstva.
The tragic fate of his family and of Jews in general, really, left his mark on him. This also manifested itself in his work. He tended to seek refuge in melancholy. Sometimes it was even a little bit kitsch. Most of the characters he played then were old men who were all alone and who nobody was interested in. These characters usually fell for a younger woman, but their love would invariably turn out to be nothing but a false illusion, and they quickly ended up having to face the harsh reality of their situation. These scenarios pretty much tied in with Haas's own personal feelings about living abroad and about the melancholy of his exile.
Cizíně v tom exilu s takovou tou melancholií.
Haas eventually returned to Europe in the late 1950s and settled in Vienna in 1961, where he occasionally appeared on television. Despite the fact that comic acting was perhaps his greatest gift, he never made another comedy after leaving Czechoslovakia. He is said to have been planning to return permanently to his homeland during the Prague Spring, but this never happened due to the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1968. Haas was deeply affected by the invasion and died a few months afterwards. In many ways, his career was indicative of the history of 20th century Czechoslovakia, in that it flourished in the 1920s and 30s before being severely blighted as a result of Nazi and Soviet tyranny. Although Haas managed to make over 30 films in exile, he is best remembered today for the work he did in Czechoslovakia, which Pavel Tausig says is still highly appreciated.
I think his importance and popularity is confirmed several times a year when Czech television shows a film starring Hugo Haas. These screenings always get huge ratings, unlike many contemporary films shown in cinemas today, which only a few hundred or a couple of thousand people go to see. When a Hugo Haas film is shown, hundreds of thousands of people still tune in to watch, even after so many years.
Jste se na mě vykašlá, la, 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 la.
The inimitable Hugo Haas there singing a love song on Valentine's Day. That edition of Czechs in History was presented and prepared by Colleen O'Connor and was first aired in April of 2006. Now in the final part of today's programme, a Czech lesson from Radio Prague's popular ABC series, which we have just started rebroadcasting. Today's show is hosted by Dean Vuletic and will be all about love. How else on Valentine's Day?
Some of you may be in love with a Czech. Some of you may want to marry a Czech. So in this ABC of Czech, we bring you the Czech words that you need to bridge the gap between love and marriage. You may like to start with a date.
Rande.
With the person you are interested in. If this meeting is successful, then this person will become your boyfriend.
Kluk.
Or girlfriend.
Dívka.
Or
holka.
And you will be dating or going out with them.
Chodit s ním.
If they are a man. Or
chodit s ní.
If they are a woman. Unlike the English language, which uses the verb to love to express anything from liking something a lot to being in love with someone, Czech is more specific in expressing degrees of love. You may want to start by telling your boyfriend or girlfriend that you like them.
Mám tě rád.
If you are male.
Mám tě ráda.
If you are female. And then, when you are really in love, you can say, I love you.
Miluju tě.
When you have reached this stage of love, you may start thinking about marriage. To ask for one's hand in marriage is
požádat o ruku,
which has the same literal meaning as its English translation. And if you get the answer yes,
ano,
then you are an engaged couple.
Snoubenci.
At your wedding,
svatba,
marrying will be different if you are a man or a woman. For men, to get married is
oženit se.
Literally, to take a wife. And if you are a woman, it is
vdát se.
Literally, to give oneself. For those who prefer a third option, you can use the gender-neutral term
vzít se.
Marrying each other. Let's hope that you now find much happiness with your husband.
Muž.
Or.
Manžel.
Wife.
Žena.
Or.
Manželka.
Or simply spouse.
Choť.
But be warned that the Czech Republic has one of the highest rates of divorce in Europe. Divorce, that's...
Rozvod. Not an auspicious ending there. Today's show, or ABC, our Czech lesson, was hosted by Dean Vuletich. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Do join us again sometime soon. Should you like to write to us, then please do. Our email address is english@radio.cz. And of course, you can check out all our programs at radio.cz.